several weeks, really, we've been talking about worship, and we've been using different biblical words and just trying to understand those better, to, I think, have a better idea, conception about what worship needs to be in terms of our lives. And I like using kind of a classical definition of worship, and that is that we would give God our mind's attention, our heart's affection, and our lives' devotion. I think it's a good definition of what worship is. Before we move on, though, so an observation has been made. Last week, or no, 2 weeks ago now, I talked about how what we do in worship is not a performance. You know, like if you walk in the door of a worship service and you hear the preacher preach and, you know, somebody singing these worship songs to God and scripture is being read and all that, and you walk away from that and you go, I didn't get anything out of that. Anybody been there besides me? Right? That there's a problem. There's a misunderstanding there of what worship is. It's not a performance. The people up on the platform are not doing something for you. We are prompters up here who are hoping to get you to give something to God. It's not about what you get out of the service. It's about what you give to the Lord as a result of being a part of the service in participation in worship to the Lord. So that was my sermon. I was part of my sermon anyway 2 weeks ago. And then we got up and we announced Jared Hall is coming. Jared Hall is an illusionist who came in last week and he did this something akin to a performance, right? And so, like, you might ask, I thought worship wasn't about a performance. I thought this was about us giving our hearts to God. What happened last week? Well, okay, if I'm pressed, I got to tell you, our goal and our purpose last week was not to get believers to give their hearts more to the Lord. Our goal and our purpose last week was to say, man, if we've got friends and neighbors and family who we care about and we want them to come into a relationship with Christ, then bring them. Have them come see this performance that this guy is going to put on. Because he's also going to talk about how to begin a relationship with Christ. Now, there may have been some elements in what we did last week that were worshipful to you. I hope they were. But that wasn't the chief purpose of what we were doing. The chief purpose was evangelistic. It was to see lost people come to know Christ. So if you pressed me and go, Ben, what was that last week? I'd say it probably wasn't a worship service. Really, especially not when you're strictly talking about the definition that we are putting out there as worship, giving God your mind's attention, your heart's affection, your life's devotion. All right, well, with that in mind, I'm going to move on back to our biblical words, right? So there are actually 9 different biblical words that are translated worship or praise, and we've been looking at some of the Hebrew words. Today, I got 2 more Hebrew words for you. And I know that me saying the Hebrew word out loud, it's not warming the cockles of your heart. Like, I totally get that, you know. There's probably not too many of us in here who are fluent in Hebrew. Anybody? No? Okay. But I think it's good just to differentiate between the words because they all come out worship when we say it in English. So one of the Hebrew words is a word that in Hebrew is shabak. And it means to address in a loud tone, to shout, to commend, to give glory, to declare victorious. We're talking about shouting God's praise, right? Woo! Yeah! God! All right! You know, I don't hear too much of that in here. I'm just saying, just observing that. One author, this guy named Darren Whitehead, he defines this same word as a holy roar when God's people gather and when they shout God's praises together. I've got this video. Can we show that, Paul? And I'm going to just keep on talking while the video is being shown. Yeah, this lettering is probably a little too small for you to read, but in 2011... in Egypt, believers gathered. And they gathered for a prayer meeting to pray for peace in their area of the world. But what you're seeing here on the screen is for 10 or 15 minutes, they just are shouting Jesus' name over and over again in celebration of what God would do as a result of their prayers. They believe God is going to be victorious. And I, like, this is probably the best illustration I could think of as the holy roar, right? Of just shouting and being excited of praising God for what it is that he's going to do. Listen to this. This is Psalm 145, verse 4. And this is an example of that Shabbat. It says, "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." And in this verse, this is the crazy part. It's translated commend instead of praise or worship in the NIV here, which is unusual. It does mean commend, but it's more than that. It is shouting God's praise. It is this idea of we will raise a holy roar to God. Like, do you get the picture? That one generation would raise such a holy roar, such a woo, God is so amazing, that the next generation would see it and be moved by it. Do you get, you kind of get what we're talking about here? I think that there is just something in us that needs to shout out to God. And we can go ahead. That's what these guys right here are doing. They are raising a holy roar to God. They are shouting his praise in a way that moves other people. And so I want to ask you, have you ever been like healed? Have you ever seen God do something that was just mind-blowing? There's just some part of you that thought, I don't know how to express this, but I am seeing God do something that is praiseworthy here. Maybe you saw a loved one and you've been praying for that person and praying for them and praying for them, and they come to know Christ and it just transforms their life. Do you know what I'm saying? And like, you can't think of that person without like kind of tearing up a little bit and just being like, God is so good and so faithful to me. Or maybe like you reflect back about your own life and you think about where you used to be. And there maybe was a sense of hopelessness and emptiness. And now you understand what it is that God brings to you. And there is a depth and a fullness. And there's something in you that just wants to go, woo, yeah, you got to know this God and what he does for you. Or maybe you've listened to a song that has moved you. I've got a song. I'm going to share it with you. Leslie said that she'd help me. She's going to come up here and try to make me look good. That just moves you, you know? Like maybe the choir sings, or it's on a CD in your car, or I don't know, somehow or another, God has put the song in your path. And when you hear it, you're reminded of just God's goodness and his faithfulness to you. Maybe even despite your lack of goodness and faithfulness in response to him. Well, this is one of those songs for me, personally. You ready?
From east to west and runs as deep as it is wide. You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. Words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear.
So listen to our hearts. Tell you what an awesome. words could fall like rain from these lips of mine. And if I had a thousand years, I would still run out of time. But if you'll listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirit sing, a song of praise that
goes
from those you have redeemed.
We'll use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. Words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts.
I sincerely hope that that's how you feel. Do you know what I mean? Like there's just not words enough to express the things that God has done for us. And every life, I hope, in here represents somebody who has been overwhelmingly moved by God, touched by Him. And we, according to that passage of Scripture I just pointed out to you, have a responsibility to raise a holy roar for God. Not just that we would come in here and sit quietly and be a part of what we call a worship service, but that we would respond. We would say, thank you, God. Not applauding for anybody up on the platform, but applauding for Him and for the things that He's done in your life. I want to tell you, I'm a sports fan, right? I like cheering for a team. I like basketball especially. And anybody in here ever raised a roar at an athletic event? I see those hands. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No, I'm just kidding. This past week, I'm a basketball fan, so I was watching Steph Curry, and I was watching SportsCenter, and they were showing on there that he had this game. I don't know how much you know about basketball, but if you love Jesus, you're going to watch it more. No, I'm just joking. I was watching this game. In a basketball game, usually, you know, the teams score about 100 points, right? That's typical. And if you're a star, you might score like 30 points in a game. If you are astronomical, you might hit 50 points in a game. There is an event, I think Wilt Chamberlain maybe scored 100 points about 2,000 years ago. Anybody familiar with that, right? Okay, but nobody's touched it since. 50 is like amazing. Well, this past week, they showed all these clips of Steph Curry out there, and in the first three quarters, he scored 51 points. It's pretty phenomenal. His coach pulled him out, didn't let him play at all in the fourth quarter because they were worried about him getting hurt, right? The cash cow, he can't let him get injured. But so they pulled him out and sat him on the sideline. But he just looked like he was having a ball. You know, he wasn't like, you know, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, all these guys. They look very serious when they're playing the game. But Steph Curry's out there joking, and he's playing around with his friends. He, like, gets fouled one time, and he throws the ball up, and it just, like, is this huge thing, and whew, nothing but net, you know? You're like, the guy just can't miss. He hit, like, 72% in the game, you know, just phenomenal. But there was a roar in the game. And what I'm saying is, I feel like when we come before God, there is a biblical sense that we should raise a roar for God. I just want to ask you, would you just do that? If you feel like God has moved in your life, would you just cheer for the Lord a little bit? Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Man, God is good, isn't he? All right. Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to move on to another word. There is another word that I want to talk about today, and that is Tehillah, which means, laudation. It is a hymn. It's a song of praise. It is singing a new song, a spontaneous song. And so there's just kind of this idea that you would be moved by God in a way that you just would spontaneously break out in song. And so I just want to invite you, would you turn in your Bibles if you've got a Bible with you? If you don't have one, there's a pew Bible there in the rack in front of you. You can use it. Would you turn to Psalm 22? And while you are turning to that, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about this particular psalm. When Jesus is being, this is written by King David, but like 1,000 years after King David, when Jesus is being crucified on the cross, Jesus says at one point, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there are people who have looked at that and they've said, well, maybe that is the moment when the Father really turned his eyes away from the Son and he felt the full weight of sin and there was a sense of desperation in Jesus. But across the board, scholars are in unity on this, that they believe Jesus was quoting this psalm, which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? But as the psalm goes on, it ends in a sense of victory, in a sense of deliverance from the Lord. And that really was what Jesus was getting at, that there was a moment of feeling for him, but a knowledge that he would be delivered. So with that in mind, let's take a look at these, just the first few verses. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. And anyway, it goes on with hope. It goes on ultimately with victory. But what I want to point out to you is this word that I'm talking about, Tehillah, actually occurs in verse 3. It says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the Tehillah of Israel. You are that joyful motivation in Israel that causes people to sing spontaneously. You know, the King James says a little different. It says, but you are holy. Thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. It is this idea that it is the presence of God in us that evokes this sudden outburst of singing and joy in the Lord. The book of Bible that we call Psalms, that we're reading out of, is a collection of songs, hymns, poems, things that were used in worship to God. The Hebrew name for that is the Tehillim, the songs of great praise. And maybe like right now you're going, okay, Ben, I'm starting to get a grasp on the things that you're talking about, but what would that look like for us in our day, in our society? So there was a song that we sang just a little bit ago, Good, Good Father. And it was co-authored. There are two people's names who are ascribed to that. Their names are Pat Barrett and Tony Brown. And Pat Barrett says, no, Tony Brown is really responsible for this song. And Tony Brown says, no, really, there's somebody else who's responsible for this song. And so as Brown tells the story, he's involved in a house church movement in Atlanta, Georgia. And just in case you don't really know a whole lot about what I'm talking about here, there are some people, and they're kind of, skeptical of institutional church. And so there's this whole movement of people who say, let's just gather some people together and we'll just worship in our homes. You know, like we'll gather with believers and that will be our worship service for the week. And so Brown is a part of a group that does that. He says in the house at this particular point in time, there were less than 50 people that were gathered in his home. And they had been talking about the Lord. And at one point, they started sharing prayer requests. What can we pray about for you? And this young lady in their house church group said that she had cancer and she was losing the battle. And there were people in that group and they'd been praying for her. And so Brown says, you know, in our little church, we have a commitment to the idea that God is good no matter what your circumstances are. That he still loves us. He still blesses us. He still takes care of us. So he said, this lady, you know, they decided this is a wounded sister and she needs prayer right now more than ever. And so this little group of believers gathered around her and they laid hands on her and they started praying for her. And he said, the prayers really started out with, God, please heal her. God, make her well. Get rid of this cancer and help our sister to be whole again. But over the course of time in the prayer group, the focus changed from heal her and make her well to, we just know how good you are, God. We know that you bless us. We know that you love us. We know that you take care of us no matter what the circumstances happen to be. And listen to this. Tony Brown shared how the Spirit of God fell on the room, how thick God's presence was. In that moment, with all the prayers being lifted, a chorus came to Tony, and he began to sing it over his friend. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And he said, like in his heart, he was really apprehensive about whether or not to sing that or not because he didn't want it to be frustrating to her. He didn't want her to feel like those are just hollow, empty words. But he says, as he whispered the song in the moment, the struggling woman began to sing too, and the rest of the group. He says, I bet we sang for an hour, and there was an electricity like lightning in the room. It became a line of how we hope in God. And it continued in their house church to be this idea that no matter what, no matter whether we live or die or what we face, God is good to us and loves us. And it has not only continued to mean that for them, but somehow or another, other people got hold of this chorus, and it has gone around the world. There are people singing it all over the place. There is a, who's the guy who sings How Great Is Our God? Chris Tomlin got hold of it, and he wanted to do this song, and he wanted to have this choir back him up, and they've got this children's choir from Africa to come in. And the director said before they handed them any music, before they knew what they were going to do, they were like, let's just warm up. Let's sing one we know. And they sang Good, Good Father. And that's the one they were there to record. They had no idea. Like God is helping people all over the world to sing his praise. Because there's something in this song that we all recognize, isn't there? God is good to us. He makes the sun shine on the righteous and the wicked. He makes the rain to fall on all of us because he loves every single one of us. It just seems like the right thing to do for us to sing together, doesn't it? I don't know, like, let's talk spontaneously, right? Spontaneity. You ever been riding in your car, the radio's off, but something pops into your heart and mind and you just start singing it? How good God is, right? You ever been at home and you're vacuuming or you're mowing or you're just doing some mundane every week thing, and this song just comes out of nowhere. Maybe it's one you've heard before. You know, you start singing or humming or whistling, right? Leslie's dad, man, you can't get him to stop whistling, right? Praises to God that just come from nowhere. I believe that's the Holy Spirit, and he's causing tahilah to happen in us. A spontaneous worship, a spontaneous praise of Him that you just, you don't want to bottle it up. You want to let it out. Well, musicians, would you come on and lead us just to let out some praise to God?